Turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, we're going to read from verse 4. I think I'll join the choir next week. I've had no one ever throw a shoe at me for singing. Other things maybe, but never a shoe. So that might allow me in. I don't think so. I think my wife would throw more than a shoe if I decided I would join the choir, and Randy would throw a fit if I thought I would join the choir, if he thought I would do that. But we do encourage you to get involved. We're glad to have as many out as we have tonight, and we pray that the Lord will bless our time together around his word. For those of you who haven't been with us these last number of weeks, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, we commenced a series on Sunday night on the theme of help for today's Christian. Some very practical thoughts regarding living the Christian life. We want to encourage the Lord's people in what are very discouraging days, and cover some very practical things as we seek to live for the Lord's glory. I want to continue with that tonight on a passage and from a text of Scripture that I preached, as I mentioned this morning, some time ago when I first visited this congregation in 2005. Thinking about tonight's service on this text burned itself into my heart while I was away last week in Malvern. And I thought, though I've preached this text before, I want to come at it with from a different angle tonight, at least a little differently from what we did back then. And therefore, let's read from verse 4 and get the context of these verses. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary, let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. We'll finish there at verse 11. We pray the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. It's verse 10 that I want to come to especially. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. What I want to look at tonight is the theme of saints walking in darkness. When the people of God find themselves in dire distress, as we've just been singing in that last hymn there, times of deep discouragement, what must we do? Help for today's Christian. With our Bibles open there, let's seek the Lord together in a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word that we've read. We bless thee for the instruction and for the direction thou hast given to us. Lord, we bless thee that thou art a God who knows our every need. And as we have read in this portion of the one who is wise and has the tongue of the learned, speaking a word in season to those who are weary, we pray, Lord, tonight that thou wilt come and speak a word in season to every heart. Bless all who have gathered in this service. Bless us, Lord, as we ponder thy word just now. Give help in the preaching of it. Fill me with thy spirit. Give help in the hearing of it tonight. We pray, Father, that in all things Christ himself would have the glory and the honor. Hear our prayers and answer prayer for us tonight. Bless us as we ponder this portion. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's hard to read the prophecy of Isaiah and not detect his passionate desire to encourage and strengthen the Lord's people. This man of God was called to minister at a time of great trouble in the nation of Israel. Sin was abounding. There had been a widespread departure from the Lord. Many had turned to wickedness and idolatry and to the ways of the heathen. Society itself was corrupt, and sin was breaking out like an infectious disease among the people. There was infidelity, there was idolatry, there was immorality as well. False prophets had risen up, and with their false message, many of the people had started to follow that way of life. Instead of obeying the word of God and pursuing godliness, they pursued their sin, and they ran in the way of spiritual rebellion. Isaiah the prophet had to deal with that kind of situation. And therefore, it's no surprise to find that he had hard words for hard times. He denounced the sin, and he warned of judgment to come, and he pleaded with men that they would come and reason together, that they would repent, and therefore their sin would be forgiven. But that was only part of his message, dealing with the sin, dealing with the sinners of that time. The other part was to encourage and strengthen the Lord's people, those who were seeking to live for God's glory. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, he spoke there of a remnant, a small number of people who were consistently seeking to live for the Lord. And it's those people that he's addressing here in Isaiah chapter 50. Look at verse 10, the language there. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Now those two statements are very important. Those who fear the Lord, those who are obedient to the voice of his servant. I say they're important because many in the nation had no reverence for God. They did not fear him, and there were many, obviously, therefore, who did not obey him. But there were others who did. There were some who feared the Lord, and in their fear of God, they obeyed the voice of his servant. They loved God. They honored him. They walked with him. They sought to obey him. They were very different from those around them. And it was their intent to live for the Lord, even while others were not living for him at all. But even though they had that holy resolve, that desire to fear God and to obey the voice of his servant, these same people find themselves walking in darkness. Now that phrase in the center of that 10th verse simply means that they were facing very hard times. They were seeking to do right. They were seeking to walk in the old paths of God's truth, seeking to obey God. And yet for all of that obedience and all of that desire, the way for them was very hard. There was much to discourage them. They were a people who were afflicted and troubled by their circumstances. It seemed as if all around them was black and dark and depressing and gloomy. And that's how they lived. They were walking in darkness. And what was true of the Lord's people in the days of Isaiah the prophet is often true of the Lord's people today. No pastor is in the Christian ministry very long until he begins to realize that the very best of God's people experience a variety of deep trials and tribulations as they live their Christian lives. At times that seems strange. Certainly when you begin your ministry, it seems a strange thing to find so many of God's people in such dark circumstances. I say it's strange because as believers, we are the children of light. We are in union with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We have the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are not off the darkness in the spiritual sense. We are off the day. And yet, although we occupy that glorious position in union with Jesus Christ, it does not mean that the way ahead for us, the journey from this world to the next world, the journey home to heaven, is not beset with dark and at times depressing trials. You find that in the Old Testament. Jacob faced dark nights of trial, even as he was seeking to do the Lord's will. David fell into despondency as he waited to be crowned the king of Israel and of Judah. Jeremiah was known for his bitter lamentations and his deep sorrow and heavy burdens as he served the Lord. And when you move into the New Testament, The picture remains something similar. Peter addressed saints who were in heaviness because of manifold temptations. And you find even through New Testament history, right up to modern times, you find the very best of God's people finding themselves walking in darkness. It struck me this past week to think of great preachers who have suffered from this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had times, terrible times, of deep depression. William Cooper, the hymn writer, lived for long periods in the depths of soul despair. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the famous Welsh preacher who ministered in London after the Second World War, was plagued with similar thoughts of darkness. And the point is that the very best of Christians can fall into that kind of despair. There are, of course, various reasons for that. For example, thoughts of past sin. Though our sins have been forgiven, and we have known the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have been justified and brought into the Lord's family and known that tremendous blessing of spiritual adoption, thoughts of our past sin can plunge a believer into dark despair. Ongoing struggles with sin and with temptation can do the same. We battle against the sin that dwells within us. We battle against the worldliness that is without us. And that ongoing struggle, that ongoing holy war that the believer has, can sometimes plunge him into depression. Problems among believers, conflict, division, disunity sometimes can add to despair and cause a believer to walk in darkness. Bring it right down to a family situation, wayward children. Children that we have prayed for, children we have high hopes for, and we find them going away from the things of God, going into the world, going into open sin, and that causes a believer's heart to be broken, and it seems as if dark clouds descend upon that soul. Living as a Christian in a non-Christian world, and looking at the rise of sin within society and the breaking down of decency and morality, that can lead to a believer walking in darkness. Ill health. We don't enjoy the strength we once enjoyed. Family concerns, troubles in the home, concerns over finance or over employment. The pressures of life themselves can just bear in upon us and leave us in a discouraged state. Sudden changes in our circumstances, bereavements in the family, all of these things can cause the faithful believer to walk in darkness. And of course, all of that can have a very adverse effect upon us. One commentator said, when darkness lowers down upon the believer's mind, it is a great trial to his heart. David found that when he said in Psalm 61, his heart was overwhelmed within him. The man of God could barely cope with the circumstances that had arisen at that particular time in his life. And very often what you find in darkness when we face times like that is that questions begin to rise in the mind. Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Why is there no relief? Why am I in darkness? And it seems as if the unsaved who are careless in regard to the Lord, they're walking and they're prospering and all seems to be well with them. We ask the question, why doesn't God do something to change my situation? When will my prayers be answered? Have I failed and God has forsaken me? We begin to think that way. Begin to ask those kinds of questions when we find ourselves walking in darkness. Believer, these are real things. These are real concerns, real troubles, real fears, real thoughts. And walking in darkness is a reality for so many of the Lord's people. Some seem to walk the whole way to heaven in darkness. Others seem to have periods of darkness in their Christian life, and then it seems to lift and they walk in light again. But whether it's all the time or some of the time, God has a word for us. It's the whole point of Isaiah's message here. He wanted to help the Lord's people. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to be a comfort for them and to direct them in their dark times. And that's basically what I want to do tonight. I don't want to dwell on the condition that's described here, this walking in darkness. For any Christian who has walked in darkness knows very well what it's like. You know by experience what it's like to walk in darkness and have no light. I don't want to deal with the condition that's described here. Rather, I want to give direction in the darkness. What should we do? The child of God finds himself in times like this. Pressures piling in upon him. Discouragement rising up around him. What's he to do? What can we do? What must we do when our Christian life is enveloped in dark trials and deep troubles and there seems to be no light? Well, the answer to that question is found here in verse 10 and verse 11 of this chapter. And there are a number of things we should pay particular attention to. First of all, when we walk in darkness, we must continue in faithful obedience to God. We must continue in faithful obedience to God. One of the most important parts of this text, verse 10, is the phrase that identifies these saints as obeying the voice of the Lord's servant. Look there at the center of that verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Now the servant here is Christ. Let's keep that in mind. It's very important we note that. Christ is identified as the servant back there in Isaiah chapter 42. And the reference in verse 5 of this chapter, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back, also speaks of Christ. Those words are very, very important there. He is the servant that's mentioned in our text. And the point is that these believers who are walking in darkness, they were obeying the voice of Christ. They were walking in the way that Christ would have them to walk. They were living in accordance with his word. They were doing right. They were responding as true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ should respond. They were obedient to the truth. Now it's obvious from what verse 10 is saying that that obedience to the servant's voice, to Christ's voice, involved these believers walking in darkness. They're walking in obedience to Christ, and that obedience to Christ has brought them into this place of darkness. Now it's good we understand that. This walking in darkness and no light was not because of sin. It was not because they had gone the wrong way. It was not because they had chosen their own path. This was the Lord's way for them. They're obedient people. They're fearing the Lord. And this pathway the Lord has opened for them is for them at that time the pathway of darkness. They were in this darkness as they followed him. And therefore the truth of this text is that they were to continue obeying him even in that darkness. You read the text very carefully and see what it says there. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? It doesn't say then, change direction, change course. It says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. A believer, understand what's been said here. There is no advice in verse 10 to change course. There is no advice in verse 10 to change direction. These believers were not to seek a different path. They were not to obey a different voice. They were not to follow a different person. Rather, they were to continue with their faithful obedience to the Lord, even though that meant walking in darkness. And that hits right at the heart of the devil's lie. What does the devil say when we face trials and troubles? What is one of his greatest temptations to the child of God that's been battered about in the storms of life? He comes along and he whispers, the way is too hard. Following Christ is not all light and joy. Doing God's will involves too many difficulties for you. Obeying the word spoils your life, and that's the cause of all your despair. Try a different way. Escape the darkness by forgetting about your obedience to Christ. And many fall for that lie. Many believers look for an escape route. And they listened to that temptation that life would be easier if only they followed their own way. Is that not the mindset of the Israelites in the wilderness? Remember Exodus chapter 14, the Lord has delivered them from Egypt. He's brought them down the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Lord directed them that way. And then the Egyptians appear on their heels. It's a dark time for the people of Israel. They've just been delivered. And now it seems as if they're going to be recaptured. Either recaptured or slaughtered in the wilderness. It's a very dark time for them. They're walking in darkness. And such was the darkness that they were tempted to go back to Egypt. They begin to think and they begin to say and vocalize their thoughts and say, let's go back. We were safer in Egypt. We were better there. It'd be better had we died there than dying in this wilderness. And they wanted to go a different way. They wanted to obey their own thoughts at that time rather than obey the Lord. For it was the Lord who brought them there. But the temptation was, let's go a different path. Let's do a different thing. But the word that God gave to them was very clear. Stand still. The Lord shall fight for you. And then go forward. It was the Lord's will for them in the midst of their darkness that they were to faithfully obey Him. And believer, it's no different for us. As Charles Spurgeon said, the walk has to be continued though the light has departed. The walk has to be continued though the light has departed. We must continue, even in the midst of darkness. If we're following the Lord, if we're fearing the Lord's voice and doing the Lord's will, then we must faithfully obey the Lord, even in our times of darkness, in our Christian experience. Let's remember that obedience to God is always the wisest path for the Christian. God knows best. We can't see ahead. We don't know what lies before us, but God does. And therefore, as we follow Him, we can trust Him. Because His way is the wisest way for us. Obedience to God is always the safest path. Not only the wisest path, it's the safest path for the Christian. The child of God can't go wrong if he's following the Lord, if he's obeying the Word. If he's seeking to fear God and strive forward in his Christian life, there's always safety in obedience because God has promised to honor them that honor Him. Obedience is the wisest path. It's the safest path. It's also the happiest path for the Christian, walking in darkness with the Lord. Now bear me out here very carefully. Walking in darkness with the Lord and in obedience to Christ is far better than walking in the light without God and in disobedience to Christ. Far better to go through the valley of the shadow of death with the Lord with us in obedience to Him than to be in the mountaintop of light and be disobedient to Christ. Point is, it's vitally important for the believer to obey God at all times. Even when the trials press in and the burdens come, let's seek to obey God when that happens. Let's continue in faithful obedience to Christ. Now, what does that mean practically? It means when we walk in darkness, continue to read the Word of God. How many believers are tempted when trials come to leave off their Bible reading? To leave off their study of God's Word. And yet the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 50, he made this statement, what ought to strike our hearts, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Believer, when you walk in darkness, continue to read the Word of God. When you walk in darkness, continue to pray. David, when he said his heart was overwhelmed within him, he then prays, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He doesn't leave off prayer in his dark moments. When you walk in darkness, continue to fellowship with God's saints. Often the temptation is to stay away from the house of God, stay away from the communion of the Lord's people. Let's not do that. Let's continue in obedience to Christ and fellowship with God's people. We ought to continue to resist sin. Sometimes when darkness comes, our guard is down and we grow very weary. And the devil knows that there's a weariness there. He knows there's a weakness there. He can come with his temptations. Believer, continue to faithfully obey God and resist sin. Continue to find your greatest joy in Jesus Christ. Even in the darkest of times, continue to encourage yourself in the Lord. When David came to Ziklag, it's burned with fire. His men are about to stone him to death. They've wept so much, they have no more power to weep any longer. And David encourages himself in the Lord. When you're walking in darkness, continue to encourage yourself in Jesus Christ. When you walk in darkness, continue to live with eternity in view. Remind yourself that this world is a valley of tears, but there's a brighter day coming for you, and rejoice in that. When you walk in darkness, continue to count your blessings. There are always blessings for us to count. Things might be bad, but things could always be worse. Things might be bad, but nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Continue to count your blessings, and continue to know and do God's will. There's always a temptation when we walk in darkness to cease going on with God. Always a temptation to listen to the devil's lie and go back. I don't know your circumstances tonight, but if you're in dark times, for whatever reason, you're faithfully walking with God, you're faithfully listening to the voice of Christ through the Word, the dark clouds are over your soul. Let me plead with you not to leave off following God. That darkness has come in His providence. Therefore, continually obey Him. The second piece of advice that comes from this text is that when we walk in darkness, we must trust and rest entirely upon God. We must trust and rest entirely upon God. Verse 10 not only carries a thought about continuing, it carries a thought also about confidence. Look at the end of the verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The word trust there simply means to set your hope or confide in someone, set your hope on someone, or confide in that person. It's in a particular form here in verse 10 that suggests frequent repetition or ongoing trust. In other words, continue to trust. Continue to trust the Lord. The word stay that's used there in verse 10 carries the idea of leaning on someone. It has a very interesting sense. It was used in olden times of kings. Kings who were accustomed to go into public, and they would go into public situations leaning on one of their most trusted friends. They stayed upon their friend, or they leant upon their friend. Suggests a very close relationship of trust and confidence. The king, as he went into that public arena or that public situation, he would lean upon his friend. He would trust that friend. He would stay upon him. Very close bond between the king and the person he leaned upon. He would lean his weight upon that person. They bring those two thoughts together, this trusting and confiding and leaning upon a friend, and bring it to bear on this text, and it's very clear what's been taught here. The Christian who is bowed down with a load of care, burdened with the troubles and trials of life, and are walking in darkness, seeing no light, feeling the terrible weight of his or her situation. That kind of Christian who's seeking to go on with God but finds himself or herself walking in darkness is being exhorted here to place all of their confidence in God and lean on him every step of the way. Remember, there's no change in the walking. But he adds to that walking, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. He is to trust and lean upon God as he walks. As he walks in the darkness. Every step he trusts and he leans upon the Lord. Every day, every week, every new part of the journey, every new section of the way, he simply leans upon the everlasting arms of his God. We are to trust him. We are to trust God personally in times like that, committing our way entirely into his hand. We are to trust God constantly in times like that, not just once or twice, not just at the commencement of a problem, but right through the problem. We are to trust God fully, leaning our entire weight, bringing all of the concerns and all of the cares that weigh down upon us, bringing them to him and committing the whole to our Father. We are to trust him joyfully. Glad that we have such a Father. Glad that we have such a Savior. And we are to trust God carefully. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now the question that arises here is a very important one. Can God be trusted in our darkness? Has he been trusted before and found to be the all-faithful, all-sufficient and mighty God who can help his people? And the answer to that question, can God be trusted in our darkness, is a glorious yes. Now, I want you to follow me very carefully here. I mentioned this morning when I announced that this would be my text, I preached this passage before. But here's a dimension to it that was brought to my mind very forcefully this past week. Isaiah 50 is a chapter that's full of Christ. In verse 4, Christ is depicted as the great prophet with a word in season for his weary people. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. There's Christ as our prophet who speaks the word in season to his weary people. Look at verse 5. He is portrayed there as the faithful servant. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Now those words, the opening of the ear, take us back to Exodus chapter 21, where the servant who had served for 7 years had liberty to go free from his master. But if he said to his master, I love my master, I will not go out free. In other words, I want to stay with my master. Then that servant was taken to the doorpost, and with a sharp instrument, a hole was bored in his ear to mark him as a servant who had the right to liberty but refused to go. It marked him as a man who pledged allegiance to his master, a very faithful servant. And here these words refer to Christ. It's found again in Psalm 40, where Christ goes on to say, I delight to do thy will, O my God, mine ear hast thine opened. So the reference here in verse 5 of Isaiah 50 is a reference to Christ. And then look at verses 6 and 7. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Now there's no question those words refer to Christ, because in Matthew 27 verse 36, you read that Christ was scourged by the Romans. He gave his back to the smiters. They smote him with that scourge with 9 strands that tore his flesh as Christ had been arrested and brought before Pilate, and Pilate scourged him. In Matthew 27, verse 30, we're told that the soldiers spat on him. 600 soldiers in Pilate's hall, walking past the Son of God, and they're spitting on him. And verse 6 tells us, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And during those hours in Pilate's hall, our blessed Savior endured terrible pain. And then Christ was taken to the cross. Because these verses in Isaiah 50, verses 6 and 7 especially, where verse 7 says, "Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Christ set his face to go to Jerusalem, we're told. He set his face to go to the cross. And these verses, therefore, point us to the sufferings of Christ. They make us think of Gethsemane. They make us think of his trial. They make us think of his scourging and the mocking and the suffering and the cross that Christ endured. And we know that those were hours of intense darkness. Remember the cross, especially in the words of Matthew 27 and verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." So as Christ is hanging on the cross, he endures darkness. In fact, no one felt that darkness like Christ felt it. And on the cross, Christ went into very deep waters. He endured unimaginable sufferings. No one can fully describe the pain and the sorrow and the suffering that Christ endured at that time. His Father dealt with him as one bearing the sins of his people. Isaiah 53 tells us that Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Verse 10 tells us it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Terrible sufferings. Terrible agonies. Terrible darkness that Christ endured. The hymn writer put it this way: "None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he saved the sheep that were lost." No one has ever walked in darkness like Christ. No one. But during that time, his Father helped him. Look at verse 7. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Christ knew the darkness he faced, yet he set his face as a flint because he knew his Father would help him. Look at verse 9. "Behold, the Lord God will help me." And notice what Christ is saying there. God the Father will help me. And of course we know that God the Father upheld him through all of that darkness. It's true in one sense that the Father forsook him because Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But it's also true that the Father never failed him. I want you to turn to Psalm 16 for a moment. Here you have Christ's psalm, and some commentators are off the mind. Christ prayed this prayer in Gethsemane. Look at what he says in Psalm 16. These are tremendous words that we ought to take note of. There's no doubt these words refer to Christ. Verse 10, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Those words are quoted in the New Testament concerning Christ. This is a messianic psalm. Look at verse 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Look at verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot." Look at verse 8 also, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall also rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now what's he saying in all of that? He's saying the Lord will help me. The Lord, my Heavenly Father, will preserve me. He will uphold me. He will be beside me. He will maintain me. Now, why is that important for us when we walk in darkness? Back to Isaiah chapter 50. Why is that important for us? Because if God the Father helped his Son and upheld him when Christ endured the darkest of darknesses, If God the Father upheld Christ in the deepest of trials and did not feel him, then we can trust the very same God in the midst of our trials. That's the whole point Isaiah is making here. Look at verse 9. Notice the change in verse 9 and 10. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Christ is speaking of himself here. Then he says, who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. And then he asks the question, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let that person trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. God has helped me. So Christ is saying here to his people who are walking in darkness, his people who are weary, Christ can say to them, the Father has upheld me. The Father has helped me in my darkness. Now you who walk in darkness, trust him. And stay upon him. Lean upon him. Because he cannot fail you either. Can God be trusted when we walk in darkness? Can we lean on him? Can we find in him a friend who will never fail us? Yes, we can. See what a tremendous that help is to us when we're in darkness? A darkness that is lesser than the darkness Christ endured. God the Father upheld him. Thank God he will uphold us. And we will look back from eternity's shores. And we will say in the words of verse 9, just as Christ said, behold, the Lord God will help me. He has helped us. That's what we'll think as we look back. As we look now where we are tonight, and you're facing trials and troubles and difficulties and problems and darkness. Believer, the Lord God will help you. I don't know sometimes how he will do that. But I know he will. I don't care how dark it gets. The Lord God will help his people. Just as he has helped his son. Think of it, we are in union with Christ. Therefore, what is true of Christ is true of us. We can trust him. And we can rest entirely upon God in the midst of our darkness. We may not understand why the darkness has come. We may not understand when that darkness is going to end. We may not even know how deep the darkness is going to be. But in that darkness, we can trust God. Let me suggest that you trust him to be present with you. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will be present with you. Trust also that his perfect providence is good and profitable for you. None of us like trials. None of us like problems in life. Those problems, those trials come in the providence of God. Therefore, let us trust that that's good and profitable for us. Let us trust that God will protect us and God will preserve us in the midst of that darkness. Trust that his love for us never changes. Let us trust that he will perfect all things that concern us. Let us trust too that he will, in his time and for his glory, bring us home to himself. We really have to learn to trust the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, the prophet, I was interested to hear the choir sing tonight. They had no idea what I was speaking of until I mentioned this morning, but they're singing about hearts stayed upon Jehovah. That's the very same thought in our text. Look at Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We can trust him. We can trust Him in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our darkness, because in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 40, verse 10, he says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The Lord has promised this to His people. Tell me, are you tempted at times to lose heart? Lose confidence in God? Are we at times tempted to go off the path of obedience? Tempted sometimes to listen to the devil's lie? God did not fail His Son. And as we are in union with Him, He will not and He cannot fail us. The hymn writer said, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower." Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. But God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Continue to faithfully obey Him and trust and rely entirely upon Him when you walk in darkness. The third and final thing, and very quickly, is that when we walk in darkness, we must resist every temptation to adopt fleshly methods of deliverance. We must resist every temptation to adopt fleshly methods of deliverance. Look at verse 11. "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine own hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." J.C. Philpott, an English preacher, had a sermon on this text, these two verses, where he spoke of the heir of heaven walking in darkness, taking his words from verse 10. The heir of heaven walking in darkness. He looked at verse 11 and he spoke of the heir of hell walking in light. And the thought is that the unsaved person kindles his own fire. He tries to find a solution to the trials that he faces. He tries to kindle his own sparks. He tries to find his own way. The Lord tells him, "Ye shall lie down in sorrow." They ought to turn to the Lord and trust in Him also. But they try to kindle their own fire and walk about in their own sparks, by the light of their own making. Very often the Christian is tempted to do the same. Find some solution to the problem. Find some escape. I think it's 1 Samuel 27. David has been told and anointed by Samuel. He's not yet crowned king of Israel, but he's been anointed by Samuel to be king. And the Lord has told him in the previous chapter, "Thou shalt be king." Then he discovers again and reminds himself that Saul is seeking his life and David despairs of life. And he said, "There's nothing better for me now. I shall perish by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me but to escape into the land of the Philistines." And he goes there and he has to feign himself mad until eventually the king of the Philistines sends him out of his land. David's trying to light his own fire, trying to walk in the light of his own sparks. It wasn't good for him. Let's resist every temptation to adopt fleshly methods of deliverance, and let's wait upon the Lord. As the psalmist said in Psalm 31, "My times are in His hand." And we can leave them there. Dark times are not easy times. Walking in darkness is not something we would decide on for ourselves. But the Lord knows. The Lord leads and the Lord guides. Let us trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. And if you're walking in darkness tonight, problems are mounting, difficulties are rising, and you don't know what to do, then continue to faithfully obey the Lord. Trust Him and entirely lean your case upon Him. And resist every temptation to find some kind of fleshly deliverance from your circumstances. God can be trusted. God will help His people. May the Lord bless His word to us tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the encouragement, the instruction. We ask, Lord, tonight that You'll write these things upon our hearts. Bless Thy people, some perhaps in deep trial, perhaps wrestling with great issues. Lord, we pray that Thou might bless them and be with them. Lord, we ask that Thou would speak to hearts tonight and grant much grace. Grant much grace. We pray for those who are walking in darkness because of their own sin. Never turn to Christ. Have mercy upon them. Some perhaps walking afar from Thee. Backslidden at heart and cold at heart. Lord, draw near to them tonight and have mercy upon them. Be gracious to them, we pray. And Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts and upon our souls. And come and encourage Thy blood-bought people. Even though at times we walk in darkness, strengthen us and bless us. Part us now with Thy blessing, in Thy fear and with Thy favor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.